Luke chapter 5, and read again verse 8. What Simon Peter said to Jesus when he had seen the catch that he unexpectedly made at Jesus' command. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. Try to picture that in the boat. Jesus is there, boat's full of fish. Peter falls in among the fish at Jesus' knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord. Go away from me. I am a sinful man." So what I'm going to focus on the next 3 weeks is how you think about yourself in relation to God and Jesus and the gospel, and what Jesus has done for you. There's nothing more important for us than to think the right things about ourselves. Because if we think the wrong things, then we'll do the wrong things. And we'll believe the wrong things. We need to think the right things. Things that are true. We need to think about ourselves in a sober way. In a way that is realistic. To have sober judgment. And we're told this often in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. Romans 12, verse 3. "By the grace given me," Paul says, "I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." So sober judgment means just thinking in the right way about how things stand between you and Jesus. Just thinking in the right way about what faith you have and what that faith means for you. And Paul here seems to be particularly addressing people who think of themselves too highly. Is that our tendency tonight? To think of ourselves too highly? Or in our Highland culture, are we more likely to undersell ourselves before God? What, thinking of yourself personally, are you someone who's liable to have an overinflated view of yourself? Or someone who's liable to undervalue yourself? Or someone who's just bang on? You just absolutely see yourself perfectly as you are. Of course, both tendencies have their dangers and their consequences. Thinking too much or too little will lead us to behave wrongly. So if I think too much of myself, I may not feel the need of salvation. If I think too little of myself, I may think Jesus wouldn't want to bother with me. So both can have a danger in relation to the gospel. We need to just think in the right way. Now we come to Peter here. Did Peter think too much of himself or too little of himself? It seems to me that in the Jewish culture, certainly, there was a tendency to think too much of themselves. Like Paul writing in Romans, although he's writing to a mixed Jew and Gentile church, "Don't think of yourselves more highly." He doesn't say, "Will you folks stop thinking of yourselves too little?" He says, "Will you stop thinking too much of yourselves?" Galatians 6, again a mixed church. "If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves." You know, we have this tendency, says Paul, in our culture, to think more of ourselves than is justified. I don't know if that's true of us, but what about Peter here? Now, Peter, we think of as being this bull in the china shop kind of figure. He's brash, he's impetuous, and he sometimes engages his tongue before he engages his brain, engages his body to do something before he engages his mind. And I think we probably imagine Peter as a man who thinks too much of himself sometimes. I don't know if that's right. Because sometimes people who are kind of loud and who always stand out in the crowd as people who blurt out things and do things on the spur of the moment actually can be very insecure people. They can be the people who, while they're looking like they're bold and confident, in their heads they've got these words going like, "You fool! You just did that again, you stupid man! You just made a fool of yourself once again. You spoke without thinking, you acted without engaging your brain, you've hurt someone, you've made matters worse, you made an ass of yourself. Oh, you always make a mess of things." And some of you will identify with that. In your brain, you've got this narrative going on that undermines you, puts you down. Let me give you a few examples from Peter's own experience. Mark chapter 8, Jesus speaks plainly, "I'm going to die on a cross." What happens? Peter takes him aside and he begins to rebuke Jesus. Don't say that. Jesus then rebukes Peter. "Get behind me, Satan." How do you think Peter felt after that? Did he think, "I really got that one right"? No. He would have been collapsed inside. "Why did I open my mouth?" John chapter 13, the feet washing. "No," says Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answers, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." How does Peter feel after that? Jesus flatly contradicts Peter in front of everyone else. Do you think he feels again, "I was right, Jesus was wrong"? No, of course he says, "Well then, wash, you know, all of me." Because he said the wrong thing again. Mark chapter 14. "Lord, even if all fall away, I will not. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And we know how that turned out. How did Peter reproach himself after his bold words were proved empty? And then when it comes to the arrest of Jesus, Peter dives forward with his little sword and cuts off Malchus' ear. And Jesus says, "Put up your sword away," and heals the ear. Wrong again, Peter. I'm sure Peter has got this voice going on, because these are just a few incidents from no doubt many, many more that happened. Peter's got this voice that says, "Why do you keep jumping in and saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing? Why do you act so rashly? You and your big mouth," and so on. Do you have an inner critic that paralyzes you sometimes? Or after the event, gives you a hard time, racks you with guilt? Do you have an inner critic which leads you in relation to Jesus to say to Jesus, "You know, Lord, you know I'm no use. So don't ask too much of me. Don't ask me to do anything difficult. I'll just make a mess of it." I think there's something of that in Peter. And in verse 8, he says to Jesus something really remarkable. He says, "Go away. Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." Now, I don't think that's what Peter wants, but that's what he feels he deserves. And that's the difference. None of us, certainly as Christians, want Jesus to go away from us, but sometimes we might say, "Lord, you know, please don't put me in this situation. Please don't ask this of me. Please don't ask me to say this to this person. Please don't ask me to serve you in this way, because I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'll just make a mess of it. Just leave me." Why is he feeling that here? You might think perhaps that he's been sitting listening to Jesus teach for quite a while, probably in the boat, as verse 3 describes. Maybe Jesus has said some things that have convicted him. But I don't think that's it. Verse 9 tells us that he says what he says because he's astonished at the catch. What does that mean? Well, with Peter it may have worked this way. It may have worked like, you know, Master, you know, this is what he says in verse 4 and 5. When Jesus says, put out deep into the deep water, let down the nets for a catch. He says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. You know the way it is, Lord, that we go out in the dark because the fish come up from the bottom during the night. And we put our little lamps out and the fish come to the lamps. And then we can throw the net in and we can catch them. But in the broad daylight, Lord, like it is just now, look, the sun's up there. The fish go right to the bottom and no one's going to get them. They just don't come near the nets. It's a waste of time trying fishing in the Sea of Galilee in the daytime. And we're tired. We've worked hard all night, Lord, and we've caught nothing. So if we've caught nothing in the night in the ideal conditions, we're certainly not going to catch anything now. So what's the point? And then he looks and he sees a steely glint in Jesus' eyes. Ah, done it again. Okay, Lord. Because you say so, I will let down the nets. He's given his opinion when it wasn't asked for. And now he's been rebuked by Jesus again. But still in his heart, he says, I'm going to prove Jesus wrong. Because I'm the fisherman. He's a carpenter. He might have made the boat, but he can't do the fishing. That's me. So we'll go out and we'll go through the motions, and after a while, we'll say, Lord, told you. Never question Jesus. Never question Jesus. If he tells you to do something, and you're thinking, oh, you know, don't ask me to do that. It's a waste of time. I'll just make a mess of it. Whatever. Trust him. They let down the nets. And they catch so many fish that the nets can't contain them. The boats can't contain them. And after a while, it's just all too much for Peter. There we go again. Put my foot in it. I've said the wrong things. I've let Jesus down again by my attitude. And he just buckles down before Jesus and says, Lord, I can't keep doing this with you. I can't keep being confronted with my own unworthiness, my own failure. He says, just leave me in peace. Leave me as a fisherman. At least that way I won't hurt too many people or do too much damage. Do you ever sound like that? Is Peter thinking with sober judgment about himself? Has he got a realistic view of himself and of Jesus and of what Jesus can do with that man, Peter? Well, the answer to that question is, if Jesus accepts Peter's view of himself, then he's got a right view of himself. What does Jesus do in response to Peter? Well, verse 10. Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. Jesus doesn't comment on the sinner bit. In 2 weeks' time, I'm going to preach about sinners and saints, God willing. We'll think about that. He doesn't comment on the sinner bit. There's no doubt that in the Bible, sinner is a term that is used for those who haven't repented, for those who haven't turned to God. And if sinners don't repent and turn to God, then they will hear Jesus saying to them, depart from me. So it may be that this is Peter coming to an awareness of his sin. It may be even, some would say, Peter's what you would call conversion. Where he it really comes to a place where he knows that while he isn't sufficient, while he isn't good enough, that doesn't stop Jesus from being able to save him and from being able to use him in his work. But Jesus doesn't depart from Peter when Peter sees it. Peter deserves Jesus to depart from him, and Peter knows that here because of his sins. But we thank God tonight, Jesus does not judge you as you judge yourself. If you've got voices inside you that are saying you're no good, you're unworthy, you're just a sinner, leave me alone, let others do God's work because I'm not pure enough, I'm not good enough. Thank God Jesus doesn't agree with you. Of course you're not good enough. Of course, without Jesus Christ, you are a sinner. But Jesus is not for that reason going to leave you. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Jesus Christ came into the world, in Simon Peter's case, to save this man. And to save him from himself. To save him from his own opinions of himself. And to completely rewrite the way that Peter would think of himself, so that Peter could actually accomplish great things for Jesus that he couldn't possibly at this stage in his career as a follower of Jesus imagine. Jesus gives Peter this great fishing assignment in verse 10. No longer will he catch fish in the Sea of Galilee, which is easy for him because he's done it all his life. He'll catch people. The word that's used there, interestingly, is a word that means catch alive. It's not like fishing, where the end result is the fish is dead and on your plate. This is catching alive. This is catching, captivating people with Jesus. I'm sure Peter's voices start up again straight away. Lord, I can't even get the fishing right today or last night. Now you're asking me to fish for people. I don't really know what that means, but Lord, don't ask even more of me. You're setting me up for failure. I'll just let you down. But what's the word of Jesus? The word of Jesus is, verse 4, let down your nets for a catch. And when Jesus says that to you or to me, and we do it, there'll be a catch. We'll catch fish. Or now that Simon Peter's going to be catching men, he'll catch men for Jesus. And of course, the book of Acts tells us that Peter was remarkably successful in that enterprise by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus tells us something about ourselves. It's the truth. We need to believe it and not doubt it. We need to receive it and not discount it by our counter view conditioned by what we think of ourselves. If we've got a low opinion or even a too high opinion of ourselves. So thinking about next Sunday, the Lord's Supper, what voices will be in your head as you approach the Lord's table? What will you be thinking of yourself? Will you be thinking, it's not for me, not good enough? Or, I'll go and I'll be there, but I'm not really worthy. And that's as far as it gets for you. Or would it be the voice of Jesus that says, let down your nets for a catch. I've got a job for you. I can do marvellous things in your life. And the Lord's Supper is there just to equip you and encourage you, strengthen you for the great things that I'm going to do in your life, in the village of Plockton, in the village of Kyle, wherever you happen to be, where you work. So don't listen to all those voices in your head that you've been telling yourself all your life, the things that you think about yourself, the opinions you have of yourself. Listen to my voice, Jesus is saying. Let me tell you what to think of yourself. Let me tell you whether you're a sinner or a saint.